genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn down to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is beware. Each of my guests will warn us to beware of something, whether it's big government or big business. My first guest won the Powerline Award for the best short film depicting the debt crisis with his entry, Spending Is Nuts. We'll talk about the film, the prize, but more importantly, the mounting deficit and its connection to Solyndra. My second guest is a cultural warrior on The Bill O'Reilly Show. She is also a descendant of President Herbert Hoover. We'll discuss her new book, How a Generation of Conservatives Can Save the Republican Party, from her book, American Individualism. My third guest works for big data and has come to the conclusion that big data shows stupid people can be stupid much faster. We'll examine the precarious state of privacy from inside the big data industry from his book, Privacy and Big Data. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Justin Folk, is a writer, a director, and a post-production artist. He is the owner of Digital Astronauts, a production and post-production company located in Los Angeles that specializes in conservative-themed commentary, satire, and messaging. Justin and his team seek to advance conservative media by utilizing their professional film and television expertise to give each project a Hollywood touch. After graduating from Chapman School of Film and Television, Justin worked in the television and feature film industry for several years before founding his own company. His past credits include Anger Management, The Matrix Reloaded, The Matrix Revolutions, and The Incredible Hulk. Joining us from the Los Angeles area. Hi, Justin. How are you today?
Hi, Billy. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I loved your film, Spending Is Nuts. If people haven't seen it, go to the website, spendingisnuts.com. It's very short but very poignant film that you have up there. And I want to start with that, if we can. What inspired you to even enter this Powerline Freedom Club competition with your film, Spending Is Nuts?
Well, when I heard about the contest, I almost thought it was too good to be true because first of all, I had a great prize, but second of all, I've never heard of a contest for the arts that dealt with something like the subject of debt and the national deficit. It's an issue that concerns me greatly. So when I heard about the contest, I was extremely excited. I thought, this is kind of in my wheelhouse, so to speak. So I had to do something for it. So I jumped right on it.
Well, and you jumped on it along with many other contestants, and you ended up winning it along with the prize of, I think it was a $100,000 prize that went along with that. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
The bigger question, though, is you said that this was in your wheelhouse and it made your eyes light up when you first saw it. But why do so few creative types like yourself really want to address sensitive issues and big, powerful issues like the deficit?
You know, that's a great question. That's a really good question. In general, artists tend to get motivated about certain issues, and the artists of our day have been a lot more motivated about things like environmentalism, things like war, things of that nature. And I just don't think a lot of them see the dangers of the debt and the deficit. I don't think they understand the historical relevance, the fact that empires have all been brought down in the past by debt. And And so I don't know if they understand the problem, to be honest with you. And it's not, I guess it's just not a an exciting issue. And so maybe that's part of the reason, I'm not sure. But they seem to be motivated mostly by left-wing causes and sort of ignore some of the issues that have to do with our fiscal responsibility in our country.
Do you think, Justin, it's because social injustices, like the type you talk about, war and even environmentalism, that has a more appealing storyline, that you really can't get your arms around the injustice of the deficit?
Yeah, I think exactly. I think those are emotional. They can be very emotional subjects. The debt thing doesn't tend to be overly emotional. They just don't see the danger of it. So they can do like little human interest pieces, make them highly emotional and motivational. But it's hard to do that with the debt unless you really break it down as far as how big the debt is and what kind of effect it'll have on all of us as individuals, how much we actually owe each individual. I think it's a little more difficult to lace it with that sort of emotionalism.
That's true. My guest is Justin Folk. Now, Justin, the working title of your film was Squirrels. So why did you choose an allegory using squirrels to tell the story in Spending Is Nuts?
Well, I wanted to do something simple that I think a lot of people would understand. And I think you can kind of disarm people a little bit if it's in an allegory form. I didn't want to just tackle the issue head on and say this is the United States of America and this is the problem we have with debt. I think good storytelling, involves a lot of storytelling devices, and I think allegory is a great one. And I almost wanted to make it like a children's like story, so people could see the simplicity of it and understand it. Squirrels, to me, I think the reason squirrels came to mind was they've always been known as animals that save up for the winter, you know, for harder times. They collect the nuts and they save them. And in this particular story, I just wanted to show what it would be like if the squirrels had acted like the politicians in our country.
And it is a good allegory. My guest is Justin Folk. He's the writer, the director of the short film Spending Is Nuts. You can find it at spendingisnuts.com. I want to bring this back to maybe talk about some more topical issues, if I can, Justin, because behind all of the talk about the deficit, the big debt that we have incurred, there are other subplots, other sub-stories that are going on there. And I want to talk about Solyndra, because Solyndra is, of course, the technology company in Northern California. The scandal around that is receiving a lot of attention right now. In what ways does this scandal up at Solyndra highlight the corruption and the waste of government spending that you talk about in your film Spending Is Nuts?
Well, I think Solyndra gives a face to some of the things that are happening with our government and its interaction with the free market. I think what we're seeing here is the results of a failed mentality of the role of government, what the government should be doing and shouldn't be doing, and of a failed mentality of how the markets work. The Obama administration sees it as perfectly fine for the government to allocate capital to private industry, and in doing so to create or help along industries, when that's just really a failure of how things actually work in the free market. And it's a failure also, like I said before, of the role of government. The way our country was created by the founding fathers didn't intend the government to dictate free markets. They saw the people of this country as perfectly able to do that themselves. And so I think it's a failure of a larger mentality of the role of government. And Solyndra just gives that a face a bit. It just shows what can happen when the government overreaches and tries to, I guess, become venture capitalists.
Well, and let me comment on that, if I can, or ask you to comment on this a little bit further, because the Obama administration guaranteed $535 million in loan guarantees for Solyndra when Silicon Valley venture capitalists themselves turned their nose at the investment. They walked away from it. They said, this thing stinks. Talk to me again about how the government picks and chooses winners and losers in the economy and how successful that's been over time.
I will, and before I do, let me also mention that even members of the government thought it was a bad idea. It wasn't just the venture capitalists of Silicon Valley. There was a lot of warnings when they released the emails that showed the goings-on behind the Slinger deal, we really learned that even guys like Larry Summers and the Department of Energy were all a bit skittish when it came to this deal, and they were raising the red flag, but the administration pushed on anyway. And it gives an indication that despite all the warnings, they wanted to push this thing through purely for political reasons. And so that's just dangerous. It's just dangerous. And it's not, again, it's not the role of government.
Well, did the Obama administration unduly influence this loan guarantee to Solyndra? Because the CEO of Solyndra happens to be one of President Obama's largest contributors to his political campaign in 2008.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're seeing a lot of, again, in those emails that were revealed, we're seeing a lot of connections. And basically, it just reads as a book on crony capitalism. I mean, we basically see these connections to the Obama administration through donors and people involved in the deal. And we can see how, these were favors. These were people that, the Obama administration was involved with. Basically getting special deals to come on board and using taxpayer money to kind of supplement it.
My guest is Justin Folk. Justin, I'm going to change directions if I can with you and ask you to comment on two even more recent proposals that have come up from the Obama administration. President Obama has come up with his $450 billion Jobs Act, which is currently DOA in the Senate. Comment on that, if you will. Is that headed in the right direction? Is that where we need to go to recover this economy?
No, it isn't, and I think a lot of people know that. I mean, basically, it's they passed the first stimulus, which was nearly $1 trillion, and it did pretty much nothing to stimulate the economy or create jobs. And this is just a pared down version of that. And so there hasn't been any explanation as to why this one is any different.
Well, critics might say, Justin, that the $1 trillion that we spent in the first stimulus package just prevented us from sliding further into the hole. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I've heard that argument before, and I just don't think it's substantiated by anything. We're in a hole, and the only way to come out of it is to let the free market work and growth to occur. And if all this spending actually amounted to anything, we would have seen growth in certain sectors, and we just haven't seen that. And so this second time around with the second jobs bill, I kind of look at it more like a campaign ploy. It's a good way for Obama to pit himself against the Republicans and say, see, this is what I'm trying to do, and they're just being obstructionists. And, the bill itself doesn't really have a whole lot in it that will actually create jobs. It has basically, some temporary tax cuts and for certain businesses, temporary, and then it raises taxes permanently for job creators.
Without a doubt, free market capitalism is the best way to prosperity. My guest is Justin Folk. He is the writer, the director of a fun new short film called Spending is Nuts. You can find it at spendingisnuts.com. Justin, let's talk about another initiative that President Obama just announced a few days ago, and that is his mortgage relief proposal. And it was very interesting to me that he went to the homes of Jose and Lizette Bonilla, who were recipients of the first Mortgage Relief Act that he pushed through back in 2009 as part of his stimulus package, where he announced further mortgage relief because Jose and Lizette Bonilla were not yet out of the woods there. Comment on that, if you will. I mean, if the plan was so successful back in 2009, why did the Bonillas need this additional mortgage relief in the first place? And is mortgage relief going to help our moribund real estate industry?
Well, that's a great point. With the whole housing crisis, and I think it's a classic case of when the government doesn't know what to do, it tries to do everything. And when it comes to the housing crisis, one of the main causes of the housing crisis was government interaction with the housing crisis, with encouraging loans and trying to get people into houses that probably shouldn't have been in houses in the first place. And what we've seen since the crisis is a lot more government interaction with the housing market, and it hasn't amounted to anything. And the market is not going to stabilize if there continues to be this government involvement. It needs to run its course and basically stabilize itself. And by continually propping it up, doesn't get us anywhere closer to the market recovering. And so, again, we're just trying things that we tried before that didn't work the first time. And again, I think it's a cause of this failed mentality that the government can intervene and fix these problems when they're free market problems.
I would agree with you. Repeating the same action again and again and expecting a different result is a form of insanity, according to Albert Einstein. My guest is Justin Folk. Justin, I want to turn our attention to you just a little bit, because I was intrigued when I first booked you on the show. You're the CEO, you're the owner of Digital Astronauts, which is a post-production house specializing in conservative themes. Now, this is showing my ignorance, but, you know, how crowded is the field of competitors for conservative themes in Hollywood, a town that is typically known to favor more progressive themes?
Well, I almost look at it as a brand new industry. It's very young. Typically, conservatives have either not been involved at all in media and messaging, or they've just kind of decided to keep quiet and
sort of closet conservatives.
Exactly. And what we're seeing here is the expansion of new media, especially on the Internet. So, you know, it's a very new thing. And in the 2008 election cycle, the left pretty much dominated that new media when it came to YouTube videos and things of that nature. I think the videos that were in support of Obama outnumbered the videos that were in support of McCain by about 5-1.
Wow.
And so we're looking at a new avenue for messaging. And there are conservatives that are trying to break through. And I think there's quite a few that are doing a good job. But they had some catching up to do. But it is an exciting time. And, you know, when I look at what's going on, it's a crucial time in our country. And this messaging needs to get out there so people understand the issues and understand what, you know, really overall what the role of government should be in our lives.
Without a doubt. My guest is Justin Folk. He's the writer, the director of the short film Spending is Nuts. Justin, what do you want viewers to take away from watching your film Spending is Nuts?
I think I would like them to take away just a very overall look at the history of our country, how it was founded, the intentions that the founders had for it, and where we've come since then. And then more importantly, where do we go now? When we look at the prosperity that our country has enjoyed and why we had that prosperity, how we achieved that prosperity versus what are the policies and the decisions being made today, will it bring about that prosperity again, or will it take us in the other direction? And so I just wanted the issue to be in a very broad term, that people could understand it. Again, almost like a children's story.
Well, indeed, that is the question. Where do we go from here? My guest has been Justin Folk. He's the writer, director of the short film Spending is Nuts. Justin, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the film, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would say just go to spendingisnuts.com, which has the film. And there's more information there.
Spendingisnuts.com. That is great. Justin, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.